Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to this Monday, December 13th edition of Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. I am your host, Double T Travis there, and plenty to get to on tonight's show. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation as we do every Monday night from 6 to 6:30. On the rundown this evening, we're going to talk about young Mason Paris, who has his sights set on the WWE, perhaps in the future. We're also going to talk a little bit about some of the area young men and women that were honored by the EIAC for their outstanding play during fall sports, football, soccer, volleyball. Going to get to the boys and girls basketball roundup, and we'll see what else we can fit into the show. Want to talk a little high school wrestling as well, but I do want to start out with Mason Paris, because I put out this story last week about the NIL program that the WWE has started, and this story got a lot of clicks over at Eagle EagleCountryOnline.com on our Facebook page. A lot of people have followed the career of Mason Paris, starting with his high school wrestling career, winning the state championship as a sophomore, junior, and senior. Goes on from there to the University of Michigan, and wouldn't you know it, he's got himself in the thick of things in the national discussion. Of course, competed for the national championship a year ago against Gable Steveson from Minnesota, who is also a part of this NIL program with the WWE. But Mason Paris has already made his name well-known across the country for being one of the top heavyweight wrestlers in the nation, and of course, he's got his sights set on Gable Steveson in the Big Ten Championship and a national championship down the road. So these two are going to see a lot of each other over the course of this next year and even moving forward, as both of them will have the access to the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. And it's well documented. I have been a huge pro wrestling fan for my entire life. I still follow the WWE to this day. So when I clicked on the tweet from the WWE last week about their first NIL class, I was just kind of curious what types of athletes, maybe big college football players, were going to be involved in the program. And when I clicked on it, I'm scrolling through, I see Mason's face on there, and got me really excited, because it's pretty cool to have someone local maybe go towards a dream that I once had. I didn't actually make it to the WWE, as you can tell. I'm talking to you here on the radio. I'm perfectly content with this job that I have here. It's much easier on the body, I can tell you that. But still love the sport, and hoping for the best with Mason Paris. And I have seen a lot of collegiate wrestlers through the years have success at the collegiate level and then move into the WWE and translate very well to pro wrestling. I know there was a lot of comments about this. Certainly you have to learn the pro wrestling style. You got to have a little bit of a character there as well so you can connect with the audience. But many of folks have translated well into the WWE. You might not know these names, but guys like Shelton Benjamin, who wrestled at the University of Minnesota alongside Brock Lesnar, who is still very much involved in the WWE and the title hunt. You got Kurt Angle, who was an Olympic gold medalist, actually won the Olympic gold medal with a broken frickin' neck. That's his catchphrase back in 1996 in Atlanta. Dolph Ziggler, that's his stage name. He wrestled at Akron, very good in the ring. So this is a maybe a good career path for collegiate wrestlers that still want to have that wrestling in their life, but maybe just in a different way. But I look at it like this. Mason Paris can go down to the WWE Performance Center in Orlando. He can train. Maybe he does well enough to get a WWE contract. That's probably the you know, the high end goal, is to be with that company and make some great money, travel the world, entertain, and maybe win some championships, and continue to get that notoriety, and you know, become famous potentially. I don't know Mason that personally to know if he's followed this his whole life, if it's something that he's really dreamed about for a long time. We hope to maybe catch up with him down the road to talk more about this NIL class with the WWE. But we understand, you know, he's a busy man. He's still got his wrestling that's going on at Michigan. He's probably in the midst of finals week as well. We have reached out to him, and I do hope to sit down and talk with Mason over the phone here shortly to hear more about his aspirations of maybe being a WWE superstar down the road. But I think this is a really, really cool story. If you didn't get a chance to read it, we do have it for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. And like I said, he's going to have his name tied with Gable Steveson for a long, long time, especially now with them both potentially going to the WWE. And wouldn't it be cool if they could compete for two national championships against one another back-to-back years and then have that great story already built in for when they maybe make it on screen as WWE superstars. I think it would be absolutely fantastic, and hoping for the best for Mason, because I thought this was a possibility back when he was in high school. It just kind of reminded me of Brock Lesnar because he's just such a big kid, and hopefully it all translates for him. I'm just super happy for him, and hope that he continues to do well at the University of Michigan, and I will certainly be tracking his progress as he makes that transition into pro wrestling and sports entertainment. So pretty cool stuff there. We'll move on from the Mason Paris talk and get into some EIAC all-conference teams. And we'll start with football. We had four young men here in the area that were named MVPs within the Eastern Indiana Athletic Conference. Of course, those being from Lawrenceburg, East Central, and South Dearborn. All three schools well represented on the EIAC all-conference team. Want to start in the 4A division. East Central winning the conference again. They had 12 players on the all-conference team, including EIAC defender and MVP Sam Ringer. What a season he had for the Trojans. Unfortunately, his season ended before the regional as he tore his ACL. So that was a super unfortunate injury, not only for Sam individually, but for the team as well, because watching and covering this team throughout the year, I thought Sam might be their most important player. Obviously a great defensive back, awesome on special teams, both punting and returning kicks and punts. He had that great kickoff return against Greenwood in the first round of the sectional. I'm sure many of you have seen it 100 times by now. He could throw pass if you wanted him to. He could go in the backfield and run it. He could probably go down the field and catch it too. Just an all-around great player and a great season for Sam Ringer, very deserving of defensive MVP in the 4A division. Now you got to flip over to the South Dearborn Knights for the 4A division offensive MVP, and I think by the midway point of the season, maybe three quarters of the way through the season, it was pretty apparent that CJ Rogers was the front runner to win this award, and he did end up with the award, and it is well deserved as well. Ran for over 1,400 yards and 15 touchdowns for South Dearborn, and they did place eight players on the all-conference team. Jake Miner, shout out to the head ball coach out there in St. Leon. He was the coach of the year in the 4A division, leading the Trojans to that 10-3 record, conference champs, sectional champs, and a couple plays away from getting through the regional as well. The 3A division won by the Lawrenceburg Tigers. They had 13 all-conference selections, including offensive MVP Garrett Yoon and defensive MVP Nico Fiera. Now, Garrett Yoon, a well-documented four-year starter there at Lawrenceburg, threw for nearly 2,400 yards this year and threw for 26 touchdowns. He added another 858 yards on the ground and 13 more scores, so a pretty easy runaway winner there on the 3A side for the offensive MVP. And then Nico Fiera, he comes over as a transfer this year. Big boost to the Tigers' defense as a junior, leading the team in tackles with 116, 11 tackles for a loss, 8 sacks, and 2 interceptions. So really great in coverage as well. And that's going to be the maybe the scariest part of this Lawrenceburg team moving forward going into next year, as they have all four of their linebackers back. Certainly there's going to be some question marks on the offense with Garrett Yoon graduating, Daya Patel, Aiden Gilmore, among others, particularly at the skill positions. But my goodness, coming back on defense at linebacker when you got Fiera and Jake Pierce in the middle and Alex Whitty and Noah Kaniga coming off the edge, those four are going to be wreaking havoc on a lot of offenses throughout the region and state perhaps next year. But congratulations to all four of those young men, MVPs of the EIAC, and then the 3A division coach of the year going to Ryan Kaniga of the Lawrenceburg Tigers. And we will be chatting with him on Wednesday around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, drive time with Double T. We're also going to be welcoming in Lawrenceburg Mayor Kelly Milan. We have something special in store to honor our late great friend Pete Arnold. His wife will also be here, and we got some real special stuff lined up for 3 o'clock on Wednesday, so please be tuned in for that special segment on Drive Time with Double T. So Just to talk a little bit further about the EIAC All-Conference football team, I just want to focus on East Central, South Dearborn, and Lawrenceburg right here, three of the teams that we primarily follow during the season. But those All-Conference players for East Central, sophomore quarterback Cole Burton, he might as well mark it down. He's going to be on that team two more years. He's absolutely fantastic, had an awesome year. Casey McQueen, Luke Vogelsang along the offensive line. Ryan Brotherton really came on the scene this year as a Swiss Army knife type player on the offensive side of the ball, can run it and catch it. Lewis Gray in the trenches. Ryan Bavard right there with him. Hunter Soans, great linebacker. David Nash on the defense. Cooper Hogue, defensive back. Sophie Brown-Dyke, perhaps the best kicker in the area. And then Mr. Eli Aston, who was as electric as you can get on the football field this year as a wide receiver and kickoff and punt returner. For South Dearborn, mentioned the offensive MVP there, C.J. Rogers. He was joined on the all-conference team by Reese Willoughby, really nice wide receiver. Alex Kemper on the offensive line, Ashton Kittle at linebacker, Landon Herzner kind of playing all over the place. Sean Somer, really nice year at linebacker. Billy Schulte on the defensive line, Ryan Willoughby, and Drew Probst at defensive back. Congratulations to those young men. And then for Lawrenceburg, aside from the two MVPs, Yoon and Fiera, Luke and Jake Pierce making all-conference. Daya Patel had a huge year at wide receiver. Ashton Craig, of course, the Notre Dame commit. Not many folks got through him this year trying to get to Garrett Yoon or running backs for the Tigers. Colton Roth, Jackson Goodall, Micah Foster, all those guys battling in the trenches. I mentioned the linebackers, Alex Witte, Noah Kaniga, making all-conference, as did Aiden Gilmore and Jace Bohan, playing really great in the secondary for Coach Kaniga's Tigers. So congratulations to all those young men for making the all-conference team in the EIAC. While we are talking high school football, I want to talk about something that happened sort of on the field, but sort of off the field, and kind of change our look into Ripley County. Now, Batesville, Milan, and Oldenburg Academy, all these teams came together to raise money for Turnover Hunger. This is a Ripley County Community Foundation initiative, and basically what it is one of the varsity football teams create a turnover on Friday nights. X amount of dollars is donated to the Turnover Hunger program to help with the weekend backsack program, and that sends a backpack of non-perishable food items home with kids in elementary schools in Ripley County. And this year, those three schools were able to raise $26,000 for Turnover Hunger, and they presented some checks to some area elementary schools last week, $5,200 a piece to Batesville Primary, and then Jacksondale, Milan, South Ripley, and Sunman Elementary Schools. So really cool stuff there. I love this initiative by Batesville, Milan, and Oldenburg to turn over hunger. It'd be cool to see maybe a similar program in Dearborn County to help out with those that are food insecure, excuse me. But really, really cool story there, and you can read more about it over at EagleCountryOnline.com so that we can get to some other stuff here tonight on the show. Staying with the all-conference theme tonight, I do want to talk soccer and volleyball before we get into some other things quickly here. The soccer season was dominated by the East Central Trojans, the boys and girls winning the conference championship in the EIAC. The Lady Trojans, led by offensive MVP Olivia Hopper and defensive MVP Sophie Brown-Dyke. So make an all-conference in two different sports in the fall. Way to go, Sophie. That is absolutely awesome. Julia Tiemann, Caitlin Dick, Erica Wells, and Addison Arnault joining those young ladies on the all-conference team. But Hopper, look out for this young lady. Just a sophomore, had 16 goals and 13 assists this past season. And then Sophie Brown-Dyke anchoring that Trojans defense. They only gave up 5 goals all season long. A really great season for the Lady Trojans. Second place, Lawrenceburg, had 5 on the all-conference team, and South Dearborn had 3, including Bernadette Wisman, who broke the South Dearborn single-season scoring record with 32 goals as a sophomore. On the boys' side of things, East Central, offensive MVP JT Roden, 28 goals as a junior that garnered All-State honors, second team. He was joined by Joey Black, Matthew Hornbach, Nathan Zillick, Chance Muncy, and Riley Smith. Second place, Lawrenceburg, placing 5 on the all-conference team. That included EIAC defensive MVP Dominic Tribby. And Ashton Cotton was leading the way there for South Dearborn. He broke the single-season school record for assist with 26. You can see the full EIAC soccer teams, all-conference teams at EagleCountryOnline.com. And in volleyball, What a season it was in the EIAC as three teams tied 6-1 at the top of the conference, Connersville, East Central, and Lawrenceburg sharing the conference championship. But Connersville's Erica Smith was the MVP this season. 483 kills, 264 receptions, 228 digs, 59 blocks, 13 aces. The three coaches of those teams that shared the EIAC championship, they were all named Coach of the Year. And for East Central and Lawrenceburg, you've had Hope Fox, Avery Daniels, Macy Lewis, Becca Tupper, Lizzie Reeder, Ivy Hinkle, Natalie Caniga, and Trinity Taylor making the all-conference team. Emily Elliott, the lone all-conference selection for South Dearborn. All right, one more thing to get to before we get into boys and girls basketball. Did want to just briefly mention a former Batesville High School basketball star who just happened to be on the Indiana All-Star team and was the Mr. Basketball runner-up in 1997. If you're playing, I guess, the trivia game at home, yeah, you guessed it. It's Michael Menzer, and he has been named to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame's 2022 Silver Anniversary Team. He's among 18 players recognized for their accomplishments 25 years ago. He was a first-team All-State selection by many media outlets back in 1997, set several school records, career points, assist, and free throw percentage among them. Ended up going on to Indiana State University where he set some more records and had a really fantastic career. And Menzer are currently serving as principal, or assistant principal, excuse me, at Plainfield High School, but they are going to honor the men's silver anniversary team at the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame's annual banquet on March 23rd. They will have a midday reception at the museum in Newcastle. That's free and open to the public. So if you are a Batesville athletics fan, remember Menzer very well from his playing days, and you want to go up and be a part of those festivities, well, there you go. All right. So speaking of basketball, let's get into our boys basketball roundup this evening. And how about the Lawrenceburg Tigers? I mean, this is where we got to start. 4-0 after a couple wins over the weekend. They downed Batesville on Friday 43-24 to improve to 2-0 in the conference. Jackson Bobo, the star of the game, he had a big weekend, actually. 20 points, 4 blocks, 3 rebounds against Batesville. His younger brother, just a freshman, not as tall as Jackson, who goes 6'8", but 6'4", and plays a good guard for Coach Cutter's Tigers. Scored 11 points in that game against Batesville to secure that second EIAC win. And how about this stat for Lawrenceburg? They win this game going away against Batesville with Dia Patel and Garrett Yoon combining for 3 points. Not their best game scoring, obviously, but those two young men can do a whole lot of other things to help the team win when they are not scoring. But I found that to be quite interesting that the Tigers got that kind of depth, at least it seems, early in the season where two of their big players don't score and they still beat a solid Batesville team by double digits. Lawrenceburg turned around and knocked off an improved Switzerland County team 60-51 on Saturday. Jackson Bobo, again, 21 points, 10 rebounds. His younger brother, another double-digit game with 10 points. So Cooper Bobo certainly settling in at the varsity level. Dia Patel rebounded with 10 points. Logan Rohrer had 8, and Garrett Yoon had 7. So very balanced for the Lawrenceburg Tigers. They had some other individuals score in this game as well to outpace the Pacers. But the Tigers win despite a 28-point performance from Switzerland County's star freshman Cam Craig. He's been fantastic through 5 games, averaging 25 points and 8.5 rebounds. I tell you what, this Lawrenceburg team, don't look now, but they have not started 4-0 since the 2008-2009 season. That just so happens to be the last season that the Lawrenceburg Tigers won the sectional. They went 21-4 that year. Another conference game coming up for the Tigers on Friday. They'll be at Rushville. The Lions 0-5, and they're giving up 64 points per game. So Lawrenceburg looking to go 3-0 in the conference, and then they'll turn around and play 4A school Greenfield Central, who is new to their schedule. They come to Lawrenceburg on Saturday. And looking ahead to next week, we will bring you the Lawrenceburg and Taylor game out in Cleves, Ohio. That will be our broadcast on Tuesday the 21st. Of course, Christmas coming up next weekend, so we're bumping up our game of the week to Tuesday. So hopefully you'll be able to tune in for Lawrenceburg and Taylor. Of course, the Yellow Jackets, coached by former Tiger James Holland. Yes, I'll use the proper name, Jimmy to me, but James Holland, the head coach out there at Taylor, does a nice job. South Dearborn, I got to tell you what, they've been playing excellent basketball to start the season as well. 4-1, they did split their two games over the weekend. 41-47 loss at Madison, and honestly, the Cubs hadn't got off to such a great start this season, so a little shocked by that score line, but South Dearborn did turn around and knock off Harrison 48-38 on Saturday. In that win, Eli Hoffman led the way with 16 points. He now has 916 for his career, which means at some point this season, he is likely to go over the 1,000-point mark. If he doesn't reach that mark during the Morristown tournament, I don't expect that he is going to score 84 points against Connersville on Friday. Connersville hasn't barely even given up 84 points all season long, but if he doesn't get it during the Morristown tournament, good bet that Eli Hoffman is going to reach that 1,000-point mark before the end of the Rivertown Classic. That would at least be my bet. But Ryan Willoughby, really good in that game against Harrison, had 14 points. Reese Willoughby with 7. And it's good to see Corbin McHenry back. He's dealing with a little shoulder injury earlier in the season, but giving the Knights some depth at guard, chipping in with 4 points. He can do a lot of nice things. An extra ball handler for Coach Colston as well. But a very important game coming up on Friday for the Knights. They will be at home against Connersville. Both 1-0 in the EIAC, and I understand it's early in the season, so I don't want to put too much pressure on the kids if they're listening to the show or anything like that, saying that they have to win this game if they want to win the EIAC. I think it'd be silly to say that, but you do put yourself in a better position to win the EIAC if you can win these early games. It goes without saying you want to win them all, but Connersville is a very tough opponent and a team that everyone's kind of looking up at the top of the EIAC. They've been very, very good here in recent memory, so it's a big game, and it shouldn't really be understated, but 5 of the 8 EIAC teams have yet to lose. Lawrenceburg's 2-0 in the conference. South Dearborn and Connersville 1-0 respectively, so there you go. East Central and Greensburg yet to play a conference game. Everybody else has a loss or two already, but you stay ahead of the 8-ball with a win like this, and this can really build some momentum too, because if you win this game, people are going to be excited, but expect it to be low scoring. These two teams met in the sectional last year in the semifinals. 39-37 was the final. Connersville has won 5 in a row to start the season, and they're only allowing 33 points per game. They hang their hat on the defensive end, and I tell you what, they have great size and length. That is a good recipe for playing good defense, but they just play good team defense and are always there to help one another. South Dearborn, I think, plays great team defense as well. They're allowing 42 points per game, but they don't have nearly the size and length that Connersville does. But again, you look at this Connersville side, Toby Billups, very good player, averaging double digits. Two of their juniors, Josh Williams and Lucas Barron, have good size, and they've been scoring well, 8.8 and 14.5 points per game respectively. Names like Braxton Myers, Caleb Sparks, Gage Brown, all of those young men back from last year's sectional championship team. So again, this is a team in Connersville that is expected to do well in the conference and in the sectional, and teams like South Dearborn and eventually Lawrenceburg, they want to knock this team off, not only in conference play, but in the sectional as well. You can throw Greensburg in the mix too. Those have been the two teams that have been a thorn in the side for teams like South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg for many years here recently. But that game will be on your hometown radio station this Friday, 7:10 pregame coverage, 7:30 tip-off, South Dearborn and Connersville, a big one in the EIAC. East Central 3-2 now after losing 2 of their last 3. They split their games over the weekend. A very poor performance against Jennings County. It's the only way to really state it. I'm sure Coach Disbrow would say the same thing. 64-19 was the final score. You don't see East Central teams beaten that badly very often, but just couldn't buy a bucket. 7-28 from the field. That comes out to 25%. Ryan Brotherton was the only one that could really find a hoop. Had 10 points in that game. I don't think anybody else scored more than 3 points for the Knights, but they did bounce back the next night with a win over Oldenburg. It's a team they're expected to beat, to be honest, but much better from the field, 22-47. So they jumped from 25% to 47%. Ryan Selhurst had 17. Carson Pazonka had 15. And they had 19 assists as a team as compared to 6 against Jennings County. So you could see that sharing the ball, it was popping a little bit more. And they were probably getting some easier baskets as well with 15 steals. So sometimes you got to use your defense to create offense when your offense isn't going real good. But 3-2 for for East Central, and they got a lot of young men on this basketball team that haven't necessarily played a whole lot of varsity minutes, so I think they'll continue to get better as the year goes on. They will play Batesville on Saturday. They're 0-4 this year. It's not going to count as a conference game. They'll play again on February 12th, which will count in the EIAC. Moving on to Milan, 0-4. My goodness, it's been such a tough road for them to start the season. They've had to play East Central, Lawrenceburg, South Decatur, and Monrovia, and they got Batesville looming on Thursday, but a very tough schedule starting out. Young and inexperienced team. I haven't got a chance to see them play yet, so I can't necessarily comment on them too much. And talking to Coach Combs before the season started, I think he knew they were going to take some lumps early in the season playing against such good teams and teams that have some experience. So that's always tough. They'll get it going. Coach Combs does a great job out there. I have no doubt they're going to get it going at some point. I think Rising Sun's going to get it going here pretty soon, too. They did lose their most recent game, 56-52, to Switzerland County, the ruler of the river game. Brady Works, Peyton Merrick, Damon Kerrigan all hit double figures in that game. Dylan Martin had a nice game as well, but 15 turnovers and left 8 points at the free throw line, going 14-22. That looked to be the Achilles heel for the Shiners in that game. They'll be at New Washington on Friday and home against Oldenburg Academy on Saturday, so a couple chances to pick up some wins this coming weekend. That Switzerland County team, a lot better this year than they were last year, split their games over the weekend, defeating Rising Sun, losing to Lawrenceburg. Cam Craig has been outstanding this year. Ben Hicks, Bryce Reitzman, Bryce Turner, adding some scoring punch for this team as well. They're a team that's struggled a little bit with turnovers in their losses. Particularly in that Tigers game, that was not an issue, though. They played very well, didn't turn the ball over. They just got beat by a more explosive offense, a little deeper team. But Switzerland County home against Hauser on Saturday, and I am very much looking forward to seeing them out at the Rivertown Classic at the turn of the year. Run through some girls basketball roundup as well as we're getting close to the end of the show. East Central 6-1, 47-31 win over Columbus North last Thursday. I had the pleasure of calling that game with Chuck Thomas. Trojans jumped all over Columbus North 13-2 at the end of one, increased their lead to 27-9 at the half, and they just pressed the heck out of Columbus North. Their best player, Lauren Barker, they took her completely out of the game until the fourth quarter. She got loose and hit some threes, but they double-teamed her and pressed up and down the floor. Hope Fox was all over the place with 22 points and 12 rebounds. Trable, just steady as always with 13. Laney Baker chipped in with 8. Those are the three that have really provided the scoring punch for Coach Moore's Trojans this year. Interesting stretch of games coming up. Home against Jacksonville, one of the best teams in 1A. That's on Thursday. They'll play Batesville at home on Saturday, and then the Bedford North Lawrence tourney on December 22nd. That features number 1 Crown Point, number 3 Noblesville, number 5 Bedford North Lawrence, and number 14 East Central. So huge test there. They're going to get to play 2 games no matter what against 2 of the best teams in the state. So that's going to be a I use the term measuring stick all the time, but that's a good way to see where you're at playing against teams of that stature. Lawrenceburg's been off to a really great start, 8-4, 3-game winning streak since that 20-point loss to Jeffersonville. They do have 2 conference wins, one against Batesville on the 7th and another against Connersville on Saturday. So they've actually improved to 3-0 in the conference and can go 4-0 with a win against Rushville on Saturday. The Lady Lions 5-4 on the season, coming off a 2-point win over Greensburg. This could be a big swing game in the EIAC as the Tigers are hoping to be towards the top of the standings like they were last year, but they turned over Connersville 20 times in their latest win, shot 57% on 2-pointers. So when they're scoring in the paint and causing havoc on defense, that's when the Tigers are at their best. Kirsten Cross with 15, Chloe Meyer with 14 in that latest win over Connersville, but they're getting key contributions from 8 to 10 players. Lizzie Reader's another one that I've talked about over the last few weeks as she has scored really well for Coach Zane White's Tigers. South Dearborn 1-11, 10-game losing streak. They were very, very competitive in their last matchup against Hauser, 61-68 loss, but Kirsten Dixon, 13 points. Jillian Bond had 12. Bernadette Wisman with 10, so they're starting to find their way a little bit, scoring a little bit more, playing more competitive games. Now it's just about learning how to win those closer games, and Natalie Rupp's another player that's played really well for South Dearborn this year, and they have Connersville at home on Friday, so a chance to pick up a win there. Also want to mention Maddie Duval of Switzerland County, who's 9-2, recently setting the school record for three-pointers made in her career. Congratulations to Maddie. And one more thing to get to tonight before I sign off here. I wanted to mention a few of the standout wrestlers in the area so far this season, four of which are from East Central. Blake Wolf, just a junior. He's currently ranked number 8 at 126. Ryder Searcy, another junior, ranked number 14 at 145. David Nash is 16th in the state at 182. And Ryan Bavard, number 15 at 195. Corbin Walston from Lawrenceburg, he's 18th at 145. And then South Dearborn's Isaiah Otto, undefeated on the season and working his way up the rankings as well. Just a few of the standouts in high school wrestling so far this season. So that's all I got for you tonight here on Crunch Time. I promise we will get back to having some great guests in here in the very near future. Sometimes it's easier to get through the holiday season before we start bringing people back in, especially with all those holiday tournaments that are getting ready to start up as well. But I promise we'll have some great guests coming up in the future, coaches and players from some of our area teams as a winter sports season continues to roll on. But I do appreciate you tuning in to Crunch Time each and every Monday evening, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station. You can check out past episodes at EagleCountryOnline.com. And don't forget to check out our sports broadcast schedule under the sports tab at EagleCountryOnline.com as well. Thanks again for listening. So long and good night from your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.